Anoint my lips, O Lord. I pray that I would be faithful to the message of your holy word and help us to truly hear, truly listen to the teaching of your holy word. I ask this in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. As I worked on my sermon title this past week, I was bothered a bit because my title is Paul's Teaching About Family and the Workplace. And forgive me, at the beginning of the week, that just sounded flat. But I made peace with it because even though it sounds flat, face it. Life is full of mundane details that hardly makes you want to just do a backflip with joy and excitement. As we serve God, we must realize that God works through the common circumstances of family and workplace as avenues to serve Him, and we grow in the process. So for this very reason, since this is so, it's very applicable as we need to listen to Paul's teaching about family and the workplace. So my first point, family relations. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3 says this, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you, that you may live long on the earth." Paul was quoting almost word for word the fifth commandment, taken from Exodus 20:12, "Honor your father and mother so that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God has given you." Two words are used to describe children's relationship to their parents, and those two words are honor and obey. Actually, obey and honor. Let me say something about each of these two words. Paul qualifies his statement about the obedience of children to their parents, and that is in the Lord. That might seem to be like an obvious given, but it does reinforce that our duty and our ultimate loyalty is to be to God. And every human authority, including God-ordained authority, is not an absolute or implicit obedience. If a parent, or as we will talk about later, an employer, makes demands of you that go contrary to God's authority, they are not to be obeyed. In fact, we honor the God-given authorities most when we obey God first and foremost, and then give honor to whom honor is due. And so our obedience from children to parents is always a qualified obedience. It is also important to realize that in the parent-child relationship, it is not static. It goes through changes. The authority that a parent has over a 5-year-old is different than a 25-year-old. In fact, I would say, as a parent of 2 children out of the household, it becomes a more complicated dance the more life goes on. This relationship changes even more when adult children leave the house and are on their own. Further still, the issue of how an adult child honors his parents who are no longer living is still another matter, but it's still an ongoing duty to honor the memory of your parents. The Apostle Paul adds, this is the first commandment with a promise. This commandment is the first that has a promise attached to it. Honor towards parents anchors society and binds children to their parents in the community of faith, for their obedience is in the Lord. One other comment about this commandment And Paul says, within this promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Now, you got to put those two things side by side. The original one in Exodus says, live long in the land. Paul says, live long in the earth. In Exodus 20, the promise is specific to that, pardon the expression, that section of real estate, Israel. But we're not promised a land such as Israel. So that's why I believe, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, Paul extends the promise to wherever you may live in the earth. In saying this, Paul is emphasizing the commandment to honor, obey, is still binding on Christians. They're to honor their parents, but the promise is modified to fit the scope that God's covenant people are not just in Israel anymore. Wherever you happen to live on the earth, this promise is for you. Whether the United States, Canada, Western Europe, Russia, China, the South Pacific, Australia, wherever you may be, that you may live long on the earth. So the Apostle Paul fits the scope of where God's people live under the new covenant across the face of the earth. The Apostle Paul also gives this charge to fathers that they are not to provoke their children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Fathers are to remember their own childhood. Remember that they too were once frail and in need of instruction and guidance. And I got to remember that. If I want to be heavy-handed with my children, come on, Cedric, wind the clock back 40 years. What were you like? Look at yourself in the mirror and don't be a hypocrite. And so he is to gently, but with consistency in his own life, bring up his children in the Christian faith. There's no better education to children than for a father to acknowledge when he has blown it and been harsh in his own actions towards his children. And by the grace of God, imitate Jesus, who would not snuff out a smoldering wick. Be gentle with your children. Be firm, but be gracious, because you too are a sinner, fathers. That moves me to my next point, relations in the workplace. The Apostle Paul is addressing Christians and how to live under the conditions some of them faced. And he uses the word master and slave. In no way was he condoning the institution of slavery. If you look carefully, you'll see the seeds of full freedom and equality of masters and slaves toward the end of this passage, which would eventually, I believe, in the providence of God and in history, lead to the abolition of slavery in many parts of the world. But we also have to recognize, sadly, in our own day, through both human trafficking and slave labor continues in many parts of the world and even here in the United States. Sometimes it's very much under the radar, very much under the cover of darkness. But it's still here. But the Apostle Paul is trying to address this situation and how where Christians actually are, and in a sense, give them survival ethics to survive without condoning the institution of slavery. If you're in this situation, this is how you ought to act as a Christian believer. So I know we contextualize, and when we hear master and slave, we think employer and employee. And it's okay to do that because those same principles apply to us in our situation. These are his instructions. He tells slaves to be obedient to their masters according to the flesh. Employers are due to do what their employees. Employees are to do what their employers tell them to do. And I am inferring that obedience is of the same degree that children obey their parents as long as it does not contradict God's moral will. Notice that Paul says earthly masters. He is reminding the slaves that this will not always be so. Their masters are only in power here on earth, and their authority is neither universal nor eternal. The obedience is not just to be better than, is not to be just to the letter of the employer's directive, but also to include fear and trembling. This isn't cowering terror, but respect. The phrase refers to a proper spirit of Christian reverence, an attitude of due reverence in all in the presence of God. We are to be showing proper and humble reverence before God, but also show due respect to our employers. We're not to despise them in our hearts. We're not to hate our boss. Notice how Paul brings this attitude in, not mere legalism, where he says in Ephesians 6:5, "Be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in the sincerity of your heart as to Christ." The phrase used in Ephesians 6:5, sincerity of heart, points to our responsibility of personal integrity, expressed in word and action, simplicity, sincerity, uprightness, frankness. We are to render our service to our employers as to Christ. But it is vital that we bring our love for Christ right into the midst of this relationship at work. Our conscientious work is part of our service to Christ, whether we are employees, entrepreneurs, serving clients. Our work must not be dominated by, oops, the boss is coming. Don't let him see me doing that. Christians are to be faithful to their employers even when no one is looking. Our Christian work ethic is based on integrity, not impressing the right people, because God as Lord is always watching. And so when we take a broad view of you shall not steal, when you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing at your work, you are stealing from the company and from your boss. And so as servants of Christ, we are his representatives. And our labor may belong to our master or employer, but our underlying motivation is that we are to be servants of Christ. Paul goes on to say that we are to do the will of God from the heart. He wants our heart in service to the Lord and not to men. Our Christian faith must inform and shape how we conduct ourselves in the workplace. We normally won't be overtly evangelizing on our employer's time, but we are to bring our Christian faith into all that we do in our business and in our work. It's part of our calling to love the Lord our God. If business does not mix with our Christian faith, then it will rapidly become greedy, exploitative, and oppressive. Your employer may be paying you for your time, but all the time you are at work, you are to work as if serving the Lord and not men. It's an attitude thing. Paul goes on to speak about a master's responsibility in Ephesians 6:9, which says, "And masters, do the same things to them and give up threatening, knowing that both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him." Some employers rule by threats and carry them out ruthlessly. The better ones, however, lead by example and from a position of respect. Yes, they need to exercise discipline from time to time in the workplace. But they at times may need to fire or let an employee go. But when they believe they need to do it, they do so with honesty, justice, and integrity. And to the masters who may have lost this perspective, Paul gives two warnings. You have a master in heaven who will hold you to account. You ought not to be a tyrant. You yourself are under God's authority. You may be a master in a position of authority here, but ultimately you are a servant of your heavenly King and Master and are just as accountable to him as you are to be to your employees. And another word of warning God gives to the masters is God shows no favoritism in his judgment. The word favoritism has been translated respect of persons or partiality. And so God sees no lens of treating those with high callings as far as being born with wealth or power. All of this is to point out that God is not like this. God will not give you a better reward because of your class or station in life than he will to an employee. He expects exactly the same kind of behavior from each person in authority. And we will be judged on how we have treated others in this life, including those positions of authority that we have. The Bible has much to say about God's requirement for employers, including equitable pay for poor and immigrant workers, prompt and full payment of wages, days off of rest. If you're an employer, it is incumbent to take these matters seriously and to treat those entrusted to your care with equity, justice, and dignity. And speaking as such at this time in our society in which there is not a common day off, if we put such weight on workers and hold their job security to it, we make them a slave to the work. And we must be careful that we do not do that. Everyone needs time to rest as well as time to work. And so being a faithful employee or employer is fraught with frustration and difficulty. But in their respective roles, God expects children and parents, employers and employees to work unto him, to serve him, and to honor him. It is only as we yield to Christ's life being worked out in our lives that we will grow and mature as Christians. May God give us grace to serve him. Let us pray. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, be with us. Help us to be strengthened to love you above all, to show honor, respect, and the measure in our homes and places of work. Fill us with the Holy Spirit to be watchful and diligent, to bear witness to the saving truth of the gospel, not only in what we say, but in how we live our lives. This we pray through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.